Today on Shipment from Shiloh, Kevin, Matt, and Jake join me to share our competitive, casual, and community Netrunner goals for 2018. Finally, we brag about the dope games we got for Christmas. All this and more on Shipment from Shiloh.
Shipment from Shiloh, a Netrunner community podcast. I'm your host, Graham, and joining me today, we have the crew here at Fair Game of Downers Grove, Illinois. So joining me today, we got Jake.
What's up?
We got Kevin.
Hi.
We got Matt.
Hello.
Matt did not like my greeting, so he's being a sourpuss right now.
I mean, every Budweiser 90s reference is, right. Is worthwhile, right?
Dooby-dooby-doo, the penguin.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. Yeah, that's not a stretch. So tonight, we are talking all about our New Year's 2018 resolutions for Netrunner specifically. But before we get into that, I do want to invite you, the avid listener, to send me your questions. And then later this month, I want to do a segment all about just answering listeners' questions. They could be beginner question-focused, maybe what strategies do you use for this or that. Or maybe you just have some questions that you want to hear us discuss, opinions or thoughts on the game as a whole, the Katara cycle, revised core, any of that stuff. So,
and at the end of that, it'll be questions completed.
Ah, it's a Netrunner gun! That's terrible. All right, so without further ado, I want to get into all of our New Year's resolutions for Netrunner in a segment we call Netrunner Resolutions.
There's no pun? Like, just go on.
Resolution. All right, let's...
So, for our Netrunner Resolutions, see, because now it's a Netrunner pun.
Yeah, got it.
You're welcome.
Got it.
That only took 35 minutes to come up with.
But it's not even that good, but it's something.
So first, it's a competitive card game, so I figure we should start off with our competitive goals individually for 2018. This is basically anything to do with a tournament, any kind of tournament goal. Kevin, you want to start us off?
Sure. So last year I won my first GNK after moving somewhere that Minnesotans don't play. You know, I started winning GNKs, and, you know, I've started taking the game a little bit more seriously. I've started to see the code of the game.
Like the Matrix code?
Yeah, like the Matrix.
Like
you know,
Neo,
I'm like,
seeing the code?
I'm not Neo yet. I'm like the other character that, like...
You're early movie Neo.
No, I'm still that character that dies in the middle of, like, the
Mouse.
Matrix Reloaded. Yeah. Like, he can hold his own, but, like, you know, he's not beating up 40 Agent Smiths or anything,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Right, but, like, you know, I feel as if I'm getting better at the game and kind of understanding it and kind of hanging around and seeing the intricacies. So one of the goals I set for myself last year at Worlds was to have a winning record. I blame the meta. This year I want to make the cut at a regional, and I want to win a store champ.
Winning a store champ.
Yeah. Now I don't care
if
it means.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I'll count it if I like drive up to Northwest Territories, Canada, and you know play a store champ with four people. I'll count that.
Yeah.
But we'll see how much I want it. I want to see if I can win a store champ or make the cut at a regional.
Cool.
So that's my competitive goal for now.
If you pay me $1,000, I will throw the games against you in our store champ.
I'm good.
Okay. I'm just trying to help you out.
You don't really want it, then. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, man. Jeez, how much is it worth to you?
It's like buying a gym membership and never going. You know, you're just going to make those resolutions.
Tried to help. You shot me down.
Yeah. Jake, what you got for us?
So, my goal is to beat Matt's PE deck as a runner.
Really?
I have
his personal
lost
evolution from Techie Deck.
Yes.
Dude, just
lost
play Val.
Five times.
Just play Val. Throw some iPad Wars in there. What's
maybe I'll sideboard in some film critics
you
for one game film, and call it a day.
You play the Comrades Val deck. You'll be good.
I mean, that's all you need is film critics.
Literally play the Comrades Val deck.
Okay. we'll work on that. But seriously, though, I think my goal is I want to get a play mat from a store champ.
Ooh.
That's my goal. I'm not going to win it like Kevin. I'm not that ambitious. But if, what is it, top four?
Sure. It depends.
Either four or eight.
Yeah, I've gotten a play mat at a store champ. It's
okay, if it's four, it probably won't happen.
Yeah, you never know. You gotta set some goals.
Never know. Yourself. Yeah.
Remember, if you won't land in the stars unless you shoot the moon. Yeah. Hey, yeah, never in the card.
I've also been in a third grade classroom before.
So okay, I tried. Kevin, I will also pay you $1,000 if you win to get your mat.
For the mat? Yeah, sure, you can get the mat.
Okay, there we go.
For $1,000, yeah, value. I'll buy another mat on eBay.
I've completed my resolution there.
Yeah, okay. Go. There you go. Matt, what you got?
All right, so probably similar to Jake. I'm not, like, a super competitive player. I just enjoy the experience for the most part. But, yeah, I would like to make the cut in a store championship this year, which is something I have not done. To be fair, I've only played, like, 3 store championships in my life. In one of them, I came very close, just missed it due to strength of schedule. So, yeah, that is my goal for this year, hoping to get into at least 3 store champs and make the cut in at least one of them and get that play mat.
There you go. You
know, we kind of have a luxury this year of having a lot of store champs within, I'm going to say, driving distance. It's about maybe 2 to 3 hours.
Yep.
Yeah, we've got one here. We've got a couple down in Champaign, I think. Mm-hmm. Madison, Milwaukee.
Rockford.
Pastimes has one again this year, I think. Yeah.
I'm going to go up to probably Grand Rapids for one.
Okay.
But that's because I have friends up there and I'm going to crash on their couch. So.
Sure. Sure.
So I was going to say something similar, but now I'm going to change what I'm going to do. My competitive goal for the year is to
win a game.
Win a game. Zing! Sick burn.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to... I'm going to try to make the cut at a regional. I'm going to say it right now.
There you go.
Me too, yeah.
So far, my competitive resume is that I have won 50% of my games at a store champ, so I feel like the regional thing is super lofty. But, you know, I've won a couple GNKs, and I feel like I've gotten a lot better this year, kind of like you were saying, Kevin. Yeah. So we'll see. That's my goal. My part of that is that I want to go to more than one regional. And in the past, I've only done, like, one regional a year.
Oh, Crash Minnesota's regional.
Yeah, see, as a Minnesota, I've been to Cleveland a couple times.
You should just be a groupie and travel the country following the regionals.
I know people
around.
Who do that.
Yeah. That's. I could do that, but I don't want to.
I mean, you've got a car, so.
Yeah, there you go.
I fly first class. I'm flying first class to Cleveland, you know, for Netrunner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, after you get that $1,000 from Jake.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
you're
sponsored. Doing, you know, there you go. Sponsored by, you know, Goodyear totally tires and my sponsors, Optic Gaming, you know.
Yeah, I see on the jacket you're wearing.
Yeah,
right.
I have all the jacket. Yeah.
Got like
some monster, yeah. Monster energy.
All right, so let's switch gears a little bit because none of us are the most competitive players. So, possibly more important than your competitive goal for 2018, what is your jank or achievement goal? As in, is there a deck that you want to make successful, or you want to pull off some kind of combo? What do you got for us?
Okay, well, last year I got a Sentinel Defense to fire. So that's, this year. So
2017. Yeah.
2017, Sentinel Defense fired. Okay.
Sentinel Defense is the 4-2 agenda where if you take a brain damage, you do a net damage as well.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like,
yeah. Next wave.
So the
black level clearance.
The 2 times you do brain damage in your deck.
In your life.
You do an extra net damage.
Yeah. Value City, you know. Okay, so I've had this idea. I tried it out at King of Servers this year at Worlds, and it failed. And then it wasn't pretty. So I'm going to try it again next year. Okay. Severnia Stim Implant.
Okay.
Obelus.
Yep.
And then that. So
that's it. Just those two cards.
Acknowledge the existence of those 3 cards.
So Severnia Stim Implant is click to make a run on HQ or R&D.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll run R&D because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
And then during the run, you pop Obelus to draw 1 million cards, and then you discard a bunch to, like, access 10 cards. right?
Because Sovereignty lets you discard, I think it's two cards for one additional access.
And this is the spiciness. You'll see the top bunch of cards and hopefully get a bunch of agendas, but not quite score out. Okay, like maybe get to five, you know? Because now here's the real part of it. Now,
so you just put some overcomplicate counters. Things now is what you your goal
some,
is.
Now, after you put some counter, because you'll have a few counters already on your turning wheel, you get to showing off and then rip up the rest of the counters. So now you're seeing the cards from the bottom and win. So you just it's like an endoscopy and a colonoscopy at the same time.
Wow, that is interesting.
So those four cards and $1 million later and a bunch of turning wheel tokens.
So to clarify,
I think you're going to win that regional. You got it.
So Sovereignty's, you discard a bunch of cards to get a bunch of accesses. Mm-hmm. You have Obelisk on the table, which means you draw a card for every card you access.
Yeah.
So you get like half those cards back.
Yeah.
So then you're saying play showing off to do the exact same thing.
Except with
bottom?
Turning wheel, and then from the bottom. That way, like, they can't hide their agendas, and they're all there.
You're going to see the whole deck.
You're going to see the whole deck.
That is.
You could also alternatively play good cards, but what's the fun in that, right?
Right. That's not this category, though. This is the jank category, so.
Wow.
So that's the combo I want to hit once this year.
Lofty. Those are lofty goals. Combos.
I think you can do it. If anyone could do it, I believe in you.
Showing off.
Matt.
All right. Someone's going to call this Rainbow.
Okay.
And
great piece of ice.
This is actually going to tie in. We're going to talk about our community goals a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tie these two together here, and that is to win with every color.
Okay.
Like the rainbow. And maybe tying that into community goals, which would be some sort of league where you have to play a different runner each week, or we could do achievements, and maybe something like Kevin's just extremely overcomplicated thing would be worth 5 achievement points.
Sure.
And then, that'll determine rankings at the end of the league. So this is something we did a long time ago here when we had a really big Netrunner group, and I think we're growing back up to that size here, and I like that a lot, so I think that can be a fun opportunity for the community to play some weird stuff and play some stuff you're not familiar with.
Gotcha.
Because, I've barely ever played with NBN, so, I want to play some more with NBN and experience the full rainbow of Netrunner and play with rainbow in every deck.
Rainbow in every deck.
Yeah.
That's one of the requirements.
I understand. NBN, it's...
Call it the Lucky Charms League.
NBN, because it's so underpowered, it's very frustrating to play
a lot of times.
You don't really see a lot of it, so...
Right.
What's that one ID that's awful that no one plays? CTM or something?
CTM. Like, controlling the massage.
Give them a tag.
If you're going to play yellow, you might as well just do Harshandra Studio. I mean, that's the only one that's really worth playing.
I see people playing Hard-Hitting News all the time, and it's more like Hard-Hitting Snooze. Oh, that's terrible. But that's a cool idea, trying to win games with every color, every faction.
Yeah, like maybe even every runner / corp.
Yeah.
ID.
Every ID, yeah.
Whoa. That's a big goal.
Or we can have like one night or like an event like called a Bad IDs night or something, and you can only bring like a set of a certain collection of IDs.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm. You basically ban all the bad IDs.
So we're going to only exile, only Harshandra, only,
I feel like at some point,
Chronos Protocol.
There's going to be, 45 cards, or 49 cards for Corp from each faction that are, just the best ones, and these IDs are so bad that changing them doesn't matter. You're just using the same deck. It's like, okay, well, now it's time to play Exile or something like that.
I guess it's
going to get to the point where it's like, they're not going to do anything with their
IDs. Can you pick 49 good cards for Khan?
thankfully, it's only a 40-card deck.
Oh,
so,
hey. Got him.
Well...
Yeah, Khan. Khan for president.
Khan is fun. Jake?
So, yeah, I think Khan was the reason why I scrapped the idea of playing every ID.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let's make Haley, except bad.
Unless I just wanted to play with a handicap.
Yeah.
Right. You decided you wanted to enjoy Netrunner. Yeah. this is not a possible thing.
Yeah.
But I'm fine with Fisk. Fisk is always fun.
Fisk is better now without Jackson.
Info sifting Fisk. True. And there's some fun stuff you can do there.
The key word is better, not good. It is better without Jackson.
But I feel like it's fun still. Like you can do some fun things. Khan just seems so bad.
I'll tell you what, if you beat someone running as Fisk, they hate it, and that's one.
I lost in Worlds to a Fisk.
So, listener, if you're not familiar with these two IDs, Fisk is essentially a an ID, and then a collection of cards that forces the corp to draw, which usually you don't want to give your opponents cards, which is why Fisk is sometimes kind of laughable. But if you can prevent them from scoring out, then you force agendas to pile up in their hand.
Yeah.
Khan lets you install a program from your hand after you pass the first piece of ice each turn.
Yeah.
With a discount of one. So
value.
It's supposed to be used with like the bird breakers, which let you pay extra money to like return them to your hand and then you reinstall them. But they're so prohibitively expensive because they're still like four to install, right, even with the discount. So Khan has classically been considered utter garbage.
Yeah, maybe in the 2 week period where the runners had Temujin and Blue Moose,
and the corpse lost. Like Tech Rider or something.
It was still the worst deck, but it was playable.
If you got like maybe Tech Rider, maybe you can do something. Or
I tell you what, I have a deck that I worked on for like a month. It's called Auto Brahmacon.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you use Brahmin, an AI breaker that's very efficient, but forces you to uninstall a program and put it on top of your deck.
Yep. Hmm.
So you're constantly uninstalling programs, but then you're using Khan to reinstall those programs, and it used Autoscripter, which is a criminal card that gives you a click the first time you install a program. So once you get the engine running, you have like five click turns to help make up for the fact that you have to like redraw like your programs and stuff. But I had like clickless draw on there, like drug dealer and stuff, so it was fine.
To go with the general theme of that. I also tried once making that deck by myself, except I ran that out of Haley, so it was better, but it still sucked. Yeah, Autoscripter with Haley, London Library, Chameleon, Brahmin,
and
a zillion cards later, maybe you can have a six-click turn when you don't have any money to run anywhere. And then Starlight Crusade funding, and then...
Oh my god, no, it's terrible. It's so bad.
Cash! Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh. Jake, what's your jank goal for 2018?
So, I've been messing around with the Wayland ID Gagarin.
Yes.
Well, first of all, can we sell
Gagarin
this once
is
for...
not jank.
Is it Gagarin or Gagarin?
It's Yuri Gagarin, right? Like, it's named after the Russian...
It's named after the Russian astronaut.
Yeah.
Cosmonaut, I suppose.
Yeah.
So it'd probably be like Gagarin or something.
I've always said Gagarin.
I don't think Russian has that Gagarin.
Is anyone Russian?
Gagarin?
If you're Russian and you're listening,
please let us know.
There's a poll up on shipmentfromshiloh.com.
you got to build a poll now.
Right. Is it pronounced Gagarin or Gagarin? Which it will be written the same. So whichever one you choose is the wrong one. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, so what are you doing with this ID?
So I've been messing around
making
with
making people miserable.
It's an asset spam sort of thing.
Right.
And
the runner has to pay an extra credit to access any of your installed cards. Is that right?
Correct.
And if there's multiple in a remote, you have to pay
it's
one,
one
for each?
Credit for each card.
That's terrible.
So the point of the deck is basically overwhelm them. They don't have enough money to run and access the cards and then to trash. And then there's very few pieces of ice that you can throw on your remotes.
Your centrals.
Centrals, yes, thank you. And then the main point of the deck is basically to tag them and boom them by doing 7 meat damage.
Mm-hmm.
You can also score out, but it takes a very long time, which is what Matt was referring to. Most of the games we play go over an hour. So my jank goal, there, I have two of them. One is to, during a GNK, I will bring this corp deck. I will play it first in each pair up, and I want to win all three rounds by going to time, having just enough agenda points to beat the runner. So I won't do well overall, but that's. I want to do that. And then my second one is I want to have a game.
That's so terrible.
I want to have a game where I score 9 agenda points in one turn. Without a government takeover, by having 3 Hollywood renovations in my hand and having a Mumbad construction company, which is, for those listening, is a card, it's an asset that every turn, if it's rezzed, it gains an advancement counter, and then you can pay 2 credits to move an advancement counter to any face-up card.
But you don't have to spend clicks to do it.
Correct. It's
so
a paid
it's like
ability.
A super fast advancey thing,
yeah.
As long as you have money.
Yep. Yes. So Hollywood Renovation is a 5 advancement, 3-point agenda that gets installed face up. So what you would do is you would install 3 of those from HQ over your 3 clicks, and then you would have to have 15 counters or agenda tokens on Mumbad Construction Co. and 30 credits.
Okay.
And then you can just shuffle them all over and then score all of them.
Have you considered trying, like, building a deck around that with Jameson, Shipman from Miramorph, and then, like...
That's too easy. You gotta do it with Mumbad Construction Co. Build it from the ground up.
Right, right, right.
I feel like you...
It's very thematic. Hollywood Renovation, Construction Company.
Yeah, very
Jake, thematic. Right now, you are Bender in Futurama asking the robot devil to be more annoying.
Yeah.
That is what these jank goals are.
I don't play Netrunner to win or because I enjoy the game. I play it because I can annoy people while I'm doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And that's really why I come here.
All right, so my jank goal for 2018... my jank goal is to do well at a store championship with a terrible ID.
Okay.
So, lately I've been working on my Ian deck, which is a pretty mediocre ID.
Hey, Ian's hype.
You've made it work, though.
But I've made it work, so I feel really good about that. Otherwise, I want to use the card Recruiting Trip, which is an operation.
In general. That's end of this conversation. Yeah, okay.
It is an operation where you can search your deck and pull up as many sysops as you want.
Yeah, yeah.
So I want to combine, Tori Hanzo and Georgia Emiliov, and I would have put in Akitaro Watanabe, except he's gone.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, another sysop, maybe. I don't know, you can put them all on the same server. It seems good, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Except they'll just, wreck your centrals. But
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
But that's not the point. The point is to pull off a recruiting trip. That's my answer.
Okay.
Okay, Graham.
Okay.
Okay.
What was the first upgrade that you said? Oh, Tori? You know, Tori Hanzo might be playable again. Because, okay, now get
Kakugo.
This. Yeah, Kakugo. Yeah.
Oh, here's another one. Yeah. We'll have a pull-up for Kakugo versus Kakugo. Please go vote on the
Kakugo. Right. It's Kakugo. It actually is Kakugo.
I like Kakugo.
Okay, sure. I can say Kakugo, but, I mean...
Please vote in the poll.
I can also say Gagarin. But, So, see, you have Knives. You have Kakugo. I mean, you have a bunch of pretty cool things with Tori Hanzo, and then you can res Chairman, and then, you know, you'll be all good to go. And then...
I feel like
for viewers listening... That seemed like a half dab.
I was just scratching my head.
Okay, it was just frantic flailing.
Yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah. But no, it's because with Tori and then yeah. So
Tori Hanzo is an upgrade that when the first time you do net damage during a run, you can pay extra to turn it into brain damage.
Yep.
So you want to combine it with do one net damage effects like
really.
Like Kakugo.
Yeah, Kakugo, House of Knives.
House of Knives, that's
and
what we're talking about.
Other random things. So here's the thing, all right? You want to import Tori Hanzo into an HB deck. Okay, preferably
CD this is so terrible.
Or something. And score Sentinel Defense Program so that when you do a net damage, you do a brain damage, you do a net damage. And then you somehow do a net damage to them with, the other Kakugo that you've also imported into Cybernetics Division, and then when they take they take the net damage, you res Tori Hanzo and turn it into a brain, and then you do another net.
Oh my god!
And then,
but it's not an endless cycle. It's only
no.
It's
a million influence cards and money later.
Everybody buy more copies of Creation Control because you're gonna need more copies of all these cards.
Right?
Got them. So got them.
I just remembered another jank goal I wanted to mention.
Yeah. All
right, we're the same.
So, I'd have to tweak my Gagarin deck for this, but basically I want to boom someone when they end their turn with no tags.
How?
You have a Zealous Judge rezzed, Biotic Labor to get the extra click, tag, boom.
That's a good goal. It's a 3-card combo.
It's dumb, but it'd be fun, because they wouldn't see it coming at all.
It would be sweet.
Yeah.
All right, so then the last category is community goals. So this is anything that has to do with a local play group. Maybe it's bringing on more people. Maybe it's throwing some kind of event. Matt, you want to start us off? Because you were talking about that idea earlier a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I was just doing some sort of league, mm-hmm. which I don't think we've done with this current group at all. It could be achievement-based. It could just be like a normal league where we keep track of stats and everything as we go along and have some nice nerdy charts and things to look at the end.
Yeah.
I'd be cool with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Make some pie graphs.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Eat some pie. It'll be a good time.
Back at my old store in Mead Hall in downtown mm-hmm. Minneapolis, we actually did an ELO league. ELO. It's actually ELO. It's not an abbreviation.
And what is that?
So an ELO league
Electronic Light Orchestra.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Exactly. No, ELO was named after some dude in a bunch of years ago, some nerd, that made up a rating system to rate how good chess players are. And so basically, like, two people play, and then the strength of the two players are determined by their existing ELO scores. So if a good player beats a bad player, they only get a few ELO points. If a bad player beats a good player, they get a bunch of ELO points.
So if I were to win a game, I'd get, like, infinite points because I'm so awful.
There is a maximum amount of swing that you can set as part of the ELO. Typically, it's, like, 20. 1,600 is the start, 20 is the swing. But, and then, like, the difference in skill is, like, the multiplier. So if it's, like, if, you know, person A beats person B and person A is way better, maybe he'll only get, like, 3 points out of 20. But if person B beats person A, they get, like, all 20 points because...
Gotcha. So it's a very heightened, like, strength of schedule
compensating... It is a strength of schedule... it's a strength of schedule BCS. Compensating... Yeah, it's a strength of schedule compensating, like, system. And it's used for chess and soccer and all kinds of other things where people play each other.
Well, we'll need a panel of like 12 judges.
Yeah, no,
to,
none of
rank
that.
Everybody.
Yeah, no, yeah, we don't have
a committee.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have the ranking committee, and then we get bowls at the end, just for the holiday season, right?
Right.
But no, what happens?
But we
is,
won't pay the players.
Yeah, and since when would you Netrunner players get paid? So we did a league with the ELO, and I actually wrote a script and hosted it on my personal site where we could just like put in ELO scores.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And just get a track, and then at the end of the season, we can use the ELO to like seed a top 8 bracket or something like that. But,
oh, nice!
It was something. It was fun. People like took it pretty serious. You can check your own ELO from your computer at home. And
oh, cool!
Yeah, it's something we've done. It's pretty fun. Just saying.
It does sound pretty cool. I like the idea of being able to keep track of it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Matt, you wanted to put some kind of other stipulations on the league, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could always. We could have separate things. They could be the same league where you gain extra points if you complete achievements, which would encourage people to, you know, maybe you can't play the same deck in multiple weeks, can't play the same ID multiple weeks, install a monolith, you know.
Sure. Just installing the monolith is a triumph.
It used to be... I once made a deck.
Everything we say, you have a story about a deck you made that tried to do it.
Monolith... Mopus, Personal Workshop, Stim Hack, Temujin Contract.
I like the idea of you using a Stim Hack with a Personal Workshop and the Monolith on the Personal Workshop, and you just play the Stim Hack, and nothing happens because you didn't even pay off the Monolith.
You
just
need
like
Stim Hack twice.
It's just like burst economy, 9 credits towards my investment of a Monolith someday.
Peace in our time. And the next turn, Stim Hack. You know, at that point, it's like, why don't you just install these programs?
Right. Jake, you got a community goal for the year?
Yeah, I think my goal is to make everyone else quit by playing really annoying decks. And,
God,
so you're the last man standing.
I thought it was going to be convince everyone that it's a side game instead of
game. Tell us about that.
So for those not familiar, when I first started playing Netrunner, I learned by watching YouTube videos with commentary. And they don't always show the cards on the video, so I listened to the commentator say that people were playing the game with 0, 1, or 2 credits, where each side bids, and then if they match, something happens. If they don't match, something else happens. It sounded like they were saying side games, with S-I-D-E. I called them that for months, and then I actually like got the cards that had that and saw it was PSI, but I haven't broken the habit.
Yeah.
And then Graham embarrassed me in front of everyone last week.
Everyone.
Everyone
was here. Your parents.
I was in tears.
Your
and,
wife. Everyone was here.
She's leaving me now.
Oh, my gosh. Well.
Side game? Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense. It's not part of the main game. It's on the side.
Yeah,
you're wrong, but yeah, I can see that.
But no, in all seriousness, though, I think my goal would be to just, you know, continue to grow the group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kind of what Matt was talking about, maybe have some more stipulations. I've never done the cash refresh format, but maybe have like a legacy format with the cards that rotated. People wanted to do that. And then I think just trying to mix things up and do more IDs and, you know, go down the road less traveled. I've been stuck on the same, like, 6 decks for 3 months at this point.
Yeah.
Just with the holiday season and everything going on.
Sure.
So mix it up a bit.
Yeah.
Play anything but Gagarin.
Anything but
Gagarin. Hey, I've got a Making News and potential unleash. All asset spam to some degree.
All door-to-door decks.
Yeah. Yes. All right. I put Garen away. I made 54 card IG today.
Oh, thank you. Wow, what reprieve. Kevin, community goals, 2018.
I want to teach people how to play Netrunner. I've tried getting some of my friends into it. It's very hard to get new people into Netrunner because it's complicated and you have to read the cards and everything like that.
Yeah.
But you know, you're not gonna like be showing people Netrunner drunk at a party, you know, a party game. No. Not really. No.
Ooh, a Netrunner drinking league.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Ooh.
No. How will we do that?
You take a shot for every agenda point.
Score.
Yeah.
So that
no, every time it's stolen or scored, you have to do an
film
agenda
critic.
Point. And then a flat line is like pint of hard liquor. No,
yeah, if we have to send you to the actual hospital, your flatline, I don't know how safe that is.
IRL flatline.
Yeah, IRL flatline. No, yeah.
Well, then
no.
They'll turn into a flatliners league, too.
Yeah. In this league, you got to just drop the film crank down and you're good.
Right. Well, that's
you know that,
like,
that
I'm not,
movie
I'm
with
playing the
Kevin Bacon.
No, I'm here in this Netrunner drinking league for I'm here to win. Click one, film critic.
I'm just throwing out government takeover for the runner to steal right away. Come on, let's get this party started.
Yeah. Mad Dash, the government takeover. I win.
Yeah.
Is there specific, like, do you have specific people in mind that you want to teach Kevin, or do
no,
you want
just
name
anyone?
The names? Shame them into playing.
Just anyone new that wants to learn how to play Netrunner, I'll teach you how to play Netrunner. You know, I'll make easy decks to play. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have to play my trash everything Alice or
yeah.
That was something I wanted to add too. Is just you know be prepared for new players every week at the store because you know we meet every Tuesday. And have some core 2.0 only decks ready to go. Have some extra tokens set aside in case somebody needs an extra play mat or whatever.
Yeah.
Just have those resources available in case anybody walks over and says, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah, can you imagine if we got like 10, 15 people here every Tuesday? That'd be so hype.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That would be nuts up.
Yeah. I remember when I started playing, there were like 10, 15 people at you know my friendly local game store every weekend. That's like dwindled down to like 6.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can get it back up to the golden age of Netrunner before they print a Faust, you know, it'd be in a great situation.
I think the revised core will cause an uptick. I don't know if it'll ever get back to those 2013, 2014 levels.
Yeah, but man.
Might get close. I think the next cycle, too, has a lot of chance to bring people back in.
Yeah,
it seems
Katara,
like there's a lot of exciting things here that are fun to play with but
Apex.
Not broken.
Apex is getting 2 cards this cycle.
Yeah,
two cards.
Get ready to ESOP your Apex. Finally, it's the dream.
It is.
Never
the dream.
Thought I'd see the day.
I have 2 community goals because I was talking to manager Dave. Shout outs to Dave.
Shout outs.
I know you listen to this podcast, so like, what up? I saw you earlier today. And manager Dave and I thought that there would be a couple of interesting things that we could do to help build our local store community. First is. The revised core came out, so like any kind of learn to play event seems like this is a good time for it.
Sure.
Netrunner's been around for a while. I think some people have heard about the game, and so some people maybe bought into it. Probably got some revised cores out there for Christmas, right? So it seems like a good time to do a learn to play event, and I think just being able to pull that off in the next couple weeks would be great.
Yeah, I can imagine David selling anybody who's walking in like, hey, what should I get so-and-so for Christmas? Hey, have you seen Netrunner revised cores? Like,
do they have a brain and do they breathe? If so, they'll love Netrunner.
Netrunner is super cool.
So then the second idea that he had was to try to get new players in the door to like play with us would be to do sort of like a league or maybe just like a different night of the week that's specifically just like a revised core only night of the week. And then as the Katara cycle gets released, those get added to the card pool.
Oh, cool.
So it would get people excited about Katara packs and buy into those. It's still a small card pool, so it's not like you have to learn all of the cards. You just focus on these ones that you own.
Like a mini cash refresh.
The cost of getting into the game is so limited then compared to what it is now. Even with rotation, you still have all those old data packs.
Sure.
And now it's getting to the point, it's like, if you buy into those old ones, they're going to be gone soon.
Do you really want to buy Breaker Bay knowing that in probably 12 months it's going to be gone? I don't know.
Man, 12 months we're going to miss Breaker Bay.
Mark it on your calendar.
That's right.
We're not going to have Chrome Parlor anymore. Oh.
I know. Some of the genetics.
Oh,
so long, titanium ribs.
Yeah, ribs, man.
Enjoy it while you can.
Play your biotechs.
Yeah.
I do like biotech.
Yeah. So, those are my community goals. And I have a surprise segment for you guys. Because it's the day after Christmas, I have to ask you a very important question. And we're going to do it in my next segment called Celebrity Gift. Did you get any games for Christmas?
Yes.
What did you get?
Games.
More specific.
Board games.
Damn it.
Card games too?
So no, I got Alchemist.
Okay.
Which is a deduction sort of game where there's a board with different actions and people play against each other, taking those different actions to combine ingredients, and they try to determine the chemical composition of each ingredient so that they can get points from doing that. And so you just have to try different combinations and mark off on a sheet of paper what was what. So it's like homework, but a game.
Okay.
So
fun.
I also got Terraforming Mars,
all right,
which I think a lot of people know about.
Right.
And then I got the first expansion, Lost Legions, for Mage Knight.
Okay.
Because I thought the base game was a little too simple, you know, only lasted 3-4 hours.
Sure.
Wanted to add some complexity to it.
That's right.
And the rule book in the expansion is, I think, as big or bigger than the rule book for the base game.
Oh my god.
So
that is dumb.
In about 4 months, I think I'll be ready to start mixing some of those components in.
Right. I mean, Mage Knight's fun, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It does take me like 25 minutes just to relearn how to play it. It
right.
being a game I've already played like 2 or 3 times. So, damn.
Yeah.
I got a toaster oven.
A toaster oven?
Nice.
You can play games with that.
I have a lot of board games. My parents asked me what I wanted. I'm like, a toaster oven? No, I have plenty of board games. I played a lot of board games on Christmas. I had some friends over that I haven't met in a while. One of my friends is a resident in Peoria. He's med school. And he's actually, I didn't really know this about him. We went to high school together, and I moved to Minnesota for college, and he stayed here and went to Northwestern, so I haven't talked to him in many years, or I talked to him very rarely, and I found out that he became the North American Dominion champion, like, years ago, and I was like, what? You know, and
that's baller.
Yeah, I know.
That's the real deal.
And we played
Does he play big money strategy?
I don't know, but he tells me the Dominion meta. And
I came in top 3 in a Dominion store champ once.
Yeah, well,
so.
I've played Dominion 4 times. Well, so
I own the base game of Dominion.
Yeah.
But I've probably only played it 3 times.
He stayed over at my place for a while because he drove up from Peoria, so he's not going to just go back the same day.
Right.
He stayed at my place for like 2 days, and we played various board games and stuff. Stayed away from Dominion. I'd like to occasionally win something, but he showed me.
He would have kicked your butt.
I taught him how to play Netrunner. He said it is very complicated.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, we played some fun games. A neat game called Innovation, which is pretty cool. It's a game where you're a civilization and you innovate things, and it's hard to explain, but it's actually super cool. I thought the mechanics are very neat. He wiped my floor with it. We played a Dominion Light game that I own called Tanto Quarry, and it's basically Dominion, except instead of boring things like fields and land, it's a bunch of cute maids that like give you love and stuff. It's
anime?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
I know those kind of games.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, and but him being wired for Dominion, he like in one game he just already just like automatically just gets the strategy and just proceeds to just completely demolish.
You were probably just going for all the really cute mates.
No, actually I'm actually pretty good at that game, but I mean, no match for the North American Dominion champion.
Wow. That's right. And that's my strategy when I play Seven Wonders. It's just to play the cards that have the cute ladies on them.
Sure.
Which is
sure.
specifically
the
like
ones.
The Baths and the Altar.
Oh, yeah.
They're only first round cards.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're just buildings.
Sure.
So,
sure.
It's a good strategy, though.
Sexy buildings, though.
Very sexy buildings.
So I got Mountains of Madness.
MOM.
Yeah, which is a Lovecraft inspired game.
I love it.
Is that different than Mansions of Madness?
It is very different.
One's a mansion, one's a mountain.
Yeah. Get it straight, man.
So mansions can be kind of sexy, but mountains are...
Right.
Anyway, so it kind of seems like it's combining typical like Lovecraft like resource management with more of like party game aspects.
Sure.
I've yet to play it yet, but kind of glancing at the rules, it looks like a lot of fun. Like you take on madness cards where it limits the way you can communicate with the rest of your group. Like, for example, one of the cards is
you can't play any of your cards until everybody else in the group closes their eyes. And you can't tell them that you have that card, so they just kind of have to figure it out that you're not playing any cards until they somehow...
Can you furiously blink at them?
Maybe, like, I don't know. I haven't gone too deep into it, but...
Like, blow in their eyes?
Or you can close their eyes.
And every time you're doing those checks, it's a 30-second sand timer, so you like, 30 seconds to get X number of resources down, sort of like Dead of Winter or something, where you're trying to get those cards down.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of fun, so I'm excited to try that one out. On Christmas, we played The Quest for El Dorado, which is the new Reiner Knizia game. It was nominated for Spiel des Jahres, and basically it's a deck-building game like Dominion, but it's also a race. So everybody starts on one end of the board, and you're trying to race to the other side, so it's a lot of fun. Very, very simple to pick up. Taught my mom and stepdad about 10 minutes, and it was a lot of fun.
Now I need to brush up a little bit on my German, but what is Spiel des Jahres?
Oh, the German Game of the Year.
Game of the Year, okay. Award. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Game of the Year, it's like... Mm-hmm.
The main thing that I got for Christmas in the gaming department was I got the Genesis core book in dice set, which is the new FFG...
Yeah, FFG.
Universal RPG. So
Linux of tabletops.
That's right, that's right. You can use it in any system that you want. They have like 6 suggested systems in the book. But most notably, FFG has... sort of suggested that they are planning on releasing like source books specifically for Genesis for all of their main IPs, which would of course include the Android universe. So Manager Dave has also talked about us getting together to play a Genesis game in the Android universe, and I think that should be a lot of fun because we already enjoy the setting so much.
Right.
So I'm hoping to record that and then release that as a couple extra bonus episodes, maybe in, I'm going to say February of 2018 if we get to play between now and February.
Cool.
Wait, like us playing would be the episode?
Well, yeah. Heavily edited.
Well, we've got to film that then.
Yeah.
We could film that. I can put it up on the YouTubes. Oh, yeah,
I'm not familiar with YouTube. I was thinking, like, E-Bombs World or something.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Newgrounds, maybe. We can put it up on Newgrounds.
I have to wear my best t-shirts.
You'll make a series of Vine videos for the entire, like, 6-hour playthrough.
They're all just, like, 8-second videos.
Vine has rotated out.
Aren't they doing a new one, though? Someone told me they were...
Oh, they're bringing it back?
I don't know if it's an official one, but same sort of...
If you're not familiar with Genesis, it is an FFG product. Therefore, there are custom dice for it. So instead of trying to do a bunch of math with like rolling a d20 and adding like modifiers and stuff, you are choosing specific dice based on the like whatever the difficulty is of your check and how good you are at it, and then you like roll a bunch of symbols, and then you kind of like read the bones that you've rolled to like get the try to divine what is happening with the game. Because basically there's like 6 different symbols and one half cancels the other half out, kind of. So, or two bad ones cancel 2 good ones. So you're kind of doing like Imperial Assault style, like damage, but blocked, but surge, but dodged. So I have more good than bad, so I won.
And then
dodge fast enough.
Yeah.
That's a terrible description of it. But I am looking forward to it. I read the book a lot yesterday and it seems really good. So
sounds fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
So, not related specifically to Netrunner, but thematically related. I think I have told you guys before that Ghost in the Shell is my favorite movie of all time. The original.
The original.
Like, 95. All right,
cool.
So, I have watched both main movies, both seasons of the TV series. I haven't watched all of the new ones that have come out in the past few years, but I did see the live-action one. I got that for Christmas, and we watched it.
Sure.
And I was expecting, like, the absolute worst. I hadn't seen it in theaters, didn't buy it right away, because new movies don't do it for me, really.
Yeah.
But it actually wasn't terrible.
Yeah, I've heard that it has its moments.
It's okay. What's weird is they actually took a lot of scenes from the two original movies and the series and spliced them together, but with different plot points, but it was like the same sort of thing happened in the same location, but a different overarching story. But the thing that saved it was at the end credits, they included the original theme music from the first
one,
which is like really funky out there, Asian-style music.
Right. But how does it compare to the Ready For It Taylor Swift music video?
That's the most important part.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Is it Netrunner themed? Does she put plug in wires?
It's kind of Ghost in the Shell themed.
Yeah. It's very Ghost in the Shell themed. Yeah, yeah.
I guess I love Taylor Swift now.
Yeah. And if you listener are at your computer, I've included a link to Taylor Swift's music video for "Ready for It" in the comments, and it is great if you haven't seen it. And I mean, it's fine. It's good. I liked it.
I guess we're talking about Taylor Swift now.
But, yeah, you should get Taylor to come on next episode.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Do you think she plays Netrunner?
I'm pretty sure.
We'll teach her if she doesn't.
Yeah.
She's
community
really,
goals, right?
Yeah, community goals. Yeah. Get Taylor Swift as Netrunner. We'll have some beginner.
Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah, I think that's good. All right. Gang, thank you so much for joining me this week. Listener, please send us your questions, your ideas for discussions, things that you want to hear to any of the following contact information. You can find us at least twice a month at shipmentfromshiloh.podomatic.com. You can shoot me a tweet at GrahamCrackerGo. My username on all things Netrunner is PureFlight. Thanks to the Foundation for the amazing theme music, and thanks to you for tuning in. That's our show. This is Graham Carlson signing out for the night. Stay safe, New Angeles, and join us next time on
Shipment from Shiloh.
Graham Cracker Go? Like Graham Cracker Global Offensive?
It's what the card is.
I don't know if you tweet enough just for me to follow you. I mean, I don't see any like hot memes or anything like that.
It's just lacking in the hot meme department, for sure.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not seeing a lot of memes. Retweeting Katy Perry is right, but like the only two tweets this month, I'm not sure.
Is this the right one? You never tweet about
Netrunner. Jam some Netrunner.
Or anything.
Yeah. Where are the Netrunner tweets, man?
Is this a Katy Perry fan account?
I see Katy Perry retweets. Where's the...
I might just edit all that out.
You should just edit your entire self out of it. There doesn't need to be an intro or
it's cold open. You should edit yourself.
You should edit yourself out of your own damn podcast.
That's for making me cry last week on the side games.
You're welcome. You needed to come clean.
Side games!
Oh, man.